as you approach to the sunshine of your love. And look, a little bit of sun out at the Five Points Media Center. Sun, the theme, as we bring in a principal engineer with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, Dr. Andy Walker. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Steve, Carlos. It's a privilege to be on with you on First Take.
Thanks for joining us.
You join us as one of the mad scientists out at the National Renewable Energy Labs in Golden, trying to figure out how to capture the wind, how to capture the sun, and how we're going to live like that into the foreseeable future. Do you feel like a mission, or just because of the current administration, you've got some momentum? How's it feel? Yeah. What's the mood like out at NREL?
I can't say it's just because of the current administration, but the growth in solar has been tremendous. You know, due to technology and economy of scale, and the cost has really come down dramatically in recent years, yeah. And the market is really growing dramatically.
Andy Walker, principal engineer with the National Renewable Energy Labs in Golden. This article got our attention thanks to your communications office. You're actually tasked with helping federal agencies and federal buildings across the United States government reach new efficiency targets for renewable energy, for getting out of the old school electricity business. So I'm just thinking about the size of the federal government. I'm thinking about the age of some of these buildings. And I just don't know how in the world you're going to do it.
Yeah, regarding size, there's about 35,000 federal buildings all across the country, a lot of them overseas. And And diversity of agencies. But several of the agencies are executive agencies under the president. Mm-hmm. So a new presidential memo setting a 30% renewables goal for those buildings, 30% of their energy coming, 30% of their electricity coming from renewable energy. That really sets a direction for most of the large agencies in the federal government.
I can see building superintendents, the guys with the keys on their pockets, saying, "How are we going to do this? We better call NREL and get some new approaches to converting a lot of these old buildings." How much of it is old buildings? Something of these old stone, the FDR building, or and in fact, there's a picture of you walking around on top of some old building in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I don't know how many of the federal buildings are designated as historic buildings or in historic districts, but let me guess that it might be 25% and growing every day, as more and more buildings are added to lists of buildings which protect their historic fabric.
Okay. We're talking about more than the motion sensor light switches where you walk into a room in the bathroom and the lights come on. You've really got to take it several steps beyond that.
In terms of doing energy efficiency projects?
Yeah, energy efficiency and solar power on these buildings.
In the historic buildings?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of opportunities. I think any building that was built before 1940 was probably built with daylighting and natural ventilation. And a lot of times over the years, those features have been compromised by dividing a space up into private offices or something like that. So, one strategy in improving daylighting and indoor quality is to restore the historic features of a building. Across the inventory of building, that the energy hogs, the worst users, were built in the 1970s and 1980s.
Yeah, that was the era of we don't care. It was kind of like, okay, let's build it, It's about us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, in terms of doing solar on the roof, there's a lot of challenges there, too. A lot of times the roof condition is poor.
Okay.
The structure might be very strong. In fact, it's probably more likely to find strength beyond what is needed in an old building than in a new building. But okay. A lot of times the roof condition itself is very poor. So one idea might be to replace the roof as part of your solar project and start out with a new solar project on a new roof.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times the electrical service to the building is small and needs to be upgraded if it's historic.
Yeah, everybody's got to be, you got to have Wi-Fi and everything's got to be wired. Mm-hmm. What about the really old classic buildings, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial? Solar panels on the roof? Is that foreseeable?
Well, solar has been looked at on the part of the Lincoln Memorial, which people can't see from the street. But in a place like Washington, D.C., that's the other challenge in doing any kind of project on a historic building, is that there's a large number of stakeholders which are going to have an opinion about whether, you know, whether it's acceptable in a historic district or not. And, you know, I think what we found acceptable is that if it's on a part of the roof which is surrounded by a parapet wall and not visible from the street, that there's a good chance it might get approved by everybody that has to be involved.
So people are treating solar panels kind of like air conditioners. We need them, but we don't want to see them.
Yeah, with some exceptions, that's true. You know, out of sight, out of mind. But I can think of some exceptions. One is Thoreau Center for Sustainability in San Francisco, which is a historic hospital. And they built a new entry canopy where you walk into the building with solar overhead. And there the strategy is to make it look modern so there's no confusion about what's historic fabric and what's not.
Okay.
And so you can still see the historic building and you can kind of see the entry canopy as a more recent addition, and that was found acceptable. So those are the kind of two approaches, is to either hide it or make it set apart so that it doesn't look like part of the historic.
Yeah, so it looks part of the new look.
Right.
Dr. Andy Walker with the National Renewable Energy Labs. You said Alcatraz Island has been retrofitted.
Yeah, that's a good example of a historic district which has been retrofit with 307 kilowatts of PV on the cell block roof.
Okay, it's mostly a tourist attraction, right? It's not a working prison.
Yeah, I think they get over 1 million tourists a year, so they do have some energy use out there.
How about that? A huge portfolio, I think, of buildings you get to work through and try and help folks make the adjustment to solar. What's the time frame? Get this done in a year and a half?
Well, the president's presidential memo sets that 30% renewable electricity by 2025. So NREL supports the US DOE Federal Energy Management Program in helping agencies plan for that goal. First, we look across the country and see where the markets for solar are, what the drivers in those markets are, whether it's high utility rates or public incentives, and then also what the plays in those market is. And by play, I mean, you know, should an agency purchase a system outright or use one of the more sophisticated financing alternatives, kind of more like a lease arrangement. And then we use our geospatial tools, which is mapping tools where we have data on the solar resource on a pretty fine grid resolution across the United States. And
Phoenix gets more sun than Buffalo.
Yeah.
And that helps you make some decisions.
Yeah, so we have that geospatial data, that GIS data at NREL. And we looked at 8,400 facilities and grouped them into agencies and locations and, you know, potential projects. And
wow. Fascinating. Dr. Andy Walker, National Renewable Energy Labs. Want to have you back. Want to talk about secret projects you can't tell anybody else but the KUVO listeners. The next generation batteries. There's something moon dust. I don't know what you're going to come up with. Mm-hmm. We're going to take the next jump in solar batteries.
Yeah, batteries are transformative.
Looking forward to that. Andy Walker, National Renewable Energy Labs. Your tax dollars at work.
Thank you, Steve. Carlos, appreciate it.
On the solar tip.
Always. Thank you.
Thank you.